Welcome to More Life, the Reentry Podcast, where we explore the transformative journey of reentry after incarceration. I'm your host, Venkivia Gardner. Each week, we bring you powerful interviews with experts in the field and the voices of those who have lived through the experience. Our mission is to bridge the gap between scholarly insights and personal stories by shedding light on the challenges and triumphs faced by formerly incarcerated individuals. We explore the latest research, policies, and practices while also hearing firsthand accounts from those who've been impacted. Join us as we uncover the realities of reentry, challenge misconceptions, and inspire hope. Whether you're a professional working in the legal system, a family member, an advocate, or someone navigating reentry yourself, More Life the Reentry Podcast is here to inform, inspire, and ignite change. Hi, welcome back to another episode of More Life the Reentry Podcast. We are here with episode 3 of our current season. If you've been following us over the past couple of weeks, you know that we have already talked about whether entrepreneurship is an option for people that are formerly incarcerated and what they may encounter as they are pursuing entrepreneurship. Today, we're really going to be exploring, how does someone shift from seeing the world in a limited perspective, given that they have a criminal record or that they have a felony conviction, and seeing the possibilities that they could create for themselves. So for today, we have Mr. Bobby Bostic on here to share not only his story, but to also talk to us about the entrepreneurial mindset and what that looks like. So, Mr. Bobby, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me. And it's a pleasure to be on here to share my story and to get some inspiration for my story as well.
Well, let's jump right into it. Do you care to just give us a little bit of background about who you are and what you do?
My name is Bobby Bostic. I'm in this space talking to y'all about reentry and entrepreneurship because at the age of 16, I committed a series of robberies. Nobody was seriously injured. Nevertheless, the judge told me I would die in prison and sentenced me to 241 years for those robberies, which I was never getting out. And when I went to prison, I read hundreds of entrepreneurial books. It changed my life, and that's what made me want to become a businessman and start the path of entrepreneurship that I'm on now.
All right, Mr. Bostic, can you share with us a little bit about your journey and what led you to entrepreneurship after incarceration?
My journey in this whole incarceration thing started when I was 16. I committed two robberies of a group of people, which led me to being sentenced to die in prison. Judge told me I would die in prison. She gave me 241 years. In Missouri, you got to serve 85%, so I was never getting out of prison. But when I did go to prison, let me back up for a minute. My journey to entrepreneurship started prior to prison. When I was a little kid, I used to do entrepreneurial things like carrying people bags they caught for a quarter or a dollar. I also shoveled snow in the winter. I cut grass in the summer. I pumped gas at the filling station for people, and I used to collect cans and trade them into the lawnmower can plate. So I was always an entrepreneur even before I got into the street. So eventually, though, my entrepreneurship, I got greedy as I started getting a little bigger. I started breaking in houses, selling drugs, and things like that. To be an entrepreneur, I was always an entrepreneur even as a little kid, but I somehow tempted around and start doing negative things to get money. And that's where my path to entrepreneurship went wrong, when I started doing those negative things. Fast forward to prison, when I got all that time, I stayed in the library and I stayed reading business books. And it reawakened my desire to be an entrepreneur, but I always knew this second time around I was going to try to go to great heights with it, and I was going to be doing it in a legal form and fashion. So I had to come up with a way, a legal way to make money. So what talents did I have? What skills did I have? I felt a drive and a desire, but like some entrepreneurs, we don't know what we want to do. We got a feeling that we want to do something, but a lot of people want to start a business, they don't know how. I was one of those people in prison. I didn't know how to start a business or what I was going to do in the business world. But the seeds of entrepreneurship had already been planted in me when I was a young adolescent. So I went back to those same seeds and I began to grow them. I started watering those seeds and getting them nourishment. And I still needed the sunshine to blossom because I didn't know exactly what I was going to do. So as I read all these books, I was like, man, I got some things, some stories to tell too. So I'm going to write some books about my experiences and educate people at the same time. So I wrote the books. Now, being an entrepreneur is never an easy journey, especially when you got a life sentence. So in prison, I never stopped being an entrepreneur, even on a small scale. I sold cologne. I would get one bottle of cologne and turn it into 20 bottles of cologne. The inmates knew it, but as long as they knew it smelled good and it makes their cells smell good and them smell good, they purchased it from me. So what I would do is I would take one small bottle, mix it up with some different formulas, and have 20 bottles, and dudes would pay me for it. So I had cartons of cigarettes in prison off the cologne I was selling. So with that cologne, though, with the money, with the proceeds from that, I was using it for other things like writing letters, trying to get out of prison. And as I was doing that, I was still building my business slowly in prison. When I wrote book after book after book, I said, I'm going to start my own publishing company. I want to put out my own books. So it took 20 years, though. Some entrepreneurial dreams take a long time. It took me 20 years to get my first book published. And when I did, I was off to my entrepreneurial start because I had already started my own publishing company while I was in prison called Mind Diamonds LLC. So Mind Diamonds, the concept comes from one of my books, which is called Mind Diamonds, one of my poetry books. So I had already wrote 15 books by the time I got my first book published. Now, fast forward to, I didn't have an out date when I published this book in 2020. I had no chance of getting out of prison. In that 1 year, I published 7 books within 1 year. That was my hunger and desire of how long I had been denied of my entrepreneurial space because I had no way of publishing my books. So as an entrepreneur, we just stay hungry. The hunger never leaves us. It's just, you got to have a drive to do something with the hunger. It's just like you want to eat food when you're hungry. You got to eat your visions and your dreams, digest them, and make them come to life. It's the same way, but you got to be hungry. And as an entrepreneur, I was one of those strong, starving entrepreneurs. One other thing when we talk about entrepreneurship, and I want you to digest this and interpret this into your podcast when it comes to people who had a criminal background who are entrepreneurs. We are the most hungry schools of entrepreneur on this earth because the reason I say that is because we're willing to put our life on the line. When you go rob somebody, that person can have a gun. When you're selling drugs, you can get robbed. I was out there 12 and 13 at 2 or 3 in the morning selling drugs to men that was 40 and 50 years old. They could have took my drugs and killed me, but I didn't care because I was hungry for the money. When I was robbing people, some of them people would shoot back. They wasn't just giving their stuff up. Some people retaliated and everything else when you rob them. So I was willing to take that chance. You can get killed trying to be an entrepreneur in the streets. That's how hungry we is. We just go out there with our entrepreneurial mentality that is do or die. When you're selling drugs, I sold drugs to an undercover police in the school zone before. That sent me to jail for 7 months. So that's what entrepreneur, you know, that daily we jump out there to take these chances of death, getting killed, or going to jail. We do it every single day in our criminal world. We the hungriest entrepreneurs on this earth because we're willing to go right outside and possibly get killed with every drug deal. We know the consequence. We know people will rob and kill you, but we like, hey, this is a chance I'm taking. So that's a hungry, starving entrepreneur that jump out there and put his life on the line daily for some money. I was one of those type of people. Now, when I transitioned and turned that around, that same hungry entrepreneur set into a legal form, I put out 7 books in 1 year. that's a lot of drive. I don't know people that put out 7 books in 1 year. So that was a major entrepreneurial seed that had been buried, and once it blossomed, it refused to stop. So when I got out, I officially incorporated my LLC, you know, like Mind Diamonds Publishing. Now, this is my latest book right here. I just came out this book last month. As you can see, it got Mind Diamonds LLC. I publish all my books through my own company. This is my autobiography right here. This is my memoir, because you can see it got the Mind Diamonds logo too. That's the front. That's my autobiography. Mm-hmm. Humble to the dust, still I rise. Make sure y'all read that. If you want to know about entrepreneurship, it's all through the book. I talk about business through the book. This is my new book. It's called Make History While Remaking Yourself. I talk about entrepreneurship in that book as well. I talk about vision, goals, starting businesses. I can't leave that out of my story or nothing that I write, because the economy is involved on making money. This world goes around money. But the thing is, I want to be an entrepreneur, a social type entrepreneur, on a small scale, to let my business have a purpose. I don't want to just make money off other people's back. I want to give people something that they can get. If I'm giving them something, I want them to get something from me. I want to give them more value for their money than they can ever give me for as a financial thing. If you read this life story, Humble to the Dust Till I Rise, this book costs $25. But what you get inside this book is inspiration to get through anything in life, to accomplish your goals. You want to be a businessman? Read this book. It's a journey of inspiration on how I got out and started my own business. In the book, I talk about that. I dreamed of that company in the sale. I got out, and now I'm doing it. I'm an entrepreneur. I do motivational speaking, and I charge thousands of dollars per. If somebody invites me to their college, I charge $5,000, because I'm giving them a story. I'm giving the students something. I'm not just theoretically speaking about something I read in a textbook. I'm giving these students how me personally in Missouri, they passed a law in my name to get me out of prison. That's a lot of determination to get out of prison, where you your case or your situation sparks a movement where they change the law. When they change the law, it don't just get you out of prison. It gets hundreds of other people out of prison. That was the grit and determination I had as an entrepreneur, as a person, because the fortitude that you have as a human being, it translates into your entrepreneurship. I had a strong steel will to survive 27 years in prison and to get out. That same ethic, that same determination switches and changes over to my entrepreneur's ventures in life. So although I'm not successful as I want to be as an entrepreneur, the hunger and desire, it never leaves. So that's why I try to teach people, turn the negative into the positive. You do that by turning your aspiration, your negative entrepreneur aspirations, into something positive on becoming a businessman, on becoming a legit businessman. No, nothing illegal. It's better when you do it legal. No consequences. Only consequences is failure. But how many times have we failed? When you fail, you just get back up and try again. Over and over again, they denied my appeals in prison, but that didn't stop me from dreaming. That didn't stop me from writing a business plan in my college class for my company. You know, and to me, it was realistic. It wasn't just a business plan I was writing theoretically. On paper, or to the outsiders, it may seem theoretically, because I was never going home. But for me, I wrote my business plan, Mind Diamonds LLC, about 10 or 15 years ago. Now I'm actually living that business plan out, because I had a vision, I had a goal. And once a businessman or entrepreneur have a business or a goal, he or she is going to do whatever in their power to make that dream or goal happen, no matter how many times they fail along the way, no matter how many roadblocks they hit. Entrepreneur is going to get back up and find a way, find the capital, find the resources to get where they got to get. None of this is going to be easy. Some people give up, but I was never the one to give up. As I got through those 27 years, the same way I'm going to have to go through the obstacles I heard, of being turned down, of being denied loans, of being denied funds or whatever. But I got to keep going no matter what.
Yeah, I think one thing, like as you were talking, I kept just going back to, is like, you have an entrepreneurial spirit. you've had that spirit since a very young age. It's took you down different pathways, and now you're using that to pursue your dreams. How do people really make that shift? And that's challenging. And it's not easy, like you said. How does someone go about making that shift to where they can do legit business and be successful and use their entrepreneurial skills and spirit that they already have?
There's two type of entrepreneurs. There's a criminal entrepreneur and there's a legit entrepreneur. But a criminal entrepreneur, we say we hate prison. We tired of prison. We hate being away from our kids. We hate being away from women when we locked away. If that's the case, then once we get this second chance, we need to do away with all the criminal mentality in the first place, because it's going to lead us back to prison, the very thing we hate more than anything. And if you hungry, you was hungry enough to commit a crime for some money, why don't you take that same hunger and translate it into a job and just save? It's slow money, but it beats no money. And you ain't going to jail behind that money. And you set years in prison instead of doing nothing. So there's no way or reason that you can't come out here and be patient and save money 6-7 months or a year. If you did time in jail for 10 or 15 years, 2 or 3 years, just take a year to save money to start your business out here. We can do it. We did it in there. We didn't have no choice. Out here, we got a choice. And we want our future to be better. We want these entrepreneurial things. So the transition is first come up with an idea that when you start a business, don't ever start a business only to make money. You start a business to figure out how can you offer the customer a service or resources. Whether you can offer them services, product, or resource that nobody else can give them. Your product stands out from the other products. Your service that you give your customer, it stands out from any other provider. So you're giving them something that they can't get nowhere else. Your experience, your brand, your product. So when you start along that journey, then you hit it in the right direction right then and there, because it's all about the customer. Once you please the customer, the customer will come back. The customer will refer others to you. So for the entrepreneur that's coming from the criminal justice system or the world of prison, he or she needed to get out first. The first thing that you got to do is figure out what product I have. What skill or talent do I have that people will pay me for? What needs are the people that ain't being met? I see all this going on, but this is not what they need right there. Nobody's doing that, so this is nothing to do. Don't worry about why you ain't got the funding or you don't have the funding or the resources. First, you got to come up with the idea, and eventually the universe will put in your head a seed, an unconscious thought that will lead you to find the people who can help you, an investor, a nonprofit, anybody who can help you start your dreams and goals. It might be an auntie or uncle, but your mind to just go over this plan over and over again. Once you write your business plan, once you find your product, then write a business plan. It's important to write it down, because when you got something written and studied, it's a constant reminder. So once you figure out the product that you want to sell, one, two, once you perfect that, then you figure out how you're going to market and distribute this product out. You start right where you at. You don't wait till tomorrow or next week. You start right where you're at. As simple as going on the internet, Googling such and such and such and such, and just sitting down reading. If we can take time to go commit a crime, then we can take time to sit down and figure out how we're going to be successful financially. Even though I'm not saying like it's easy, because it's always a struggle. It's never easy. I'm not saying it's easy. What I'm saying is this is something we got to do if we want to stay out of prison, if we want to be successful and create generational wealth. Because as it stands, we don't have nothing. None of us. I mean, us just, when I say none of us, I mean that us just starting off fresh from prison, we usually more than likely start off on that. But if you got a business plan and a dream, once you got it wrote down, it's solidified. Your vision is wrote right here on this paper. You're going to remind yourself, because the paper is never going to be far away. Your financial struggle is going to remind you of why you need to start that business and be successful with it. Once you come up with a product and idea, write it down and then start executing 1, 2, 3. But 1, 2, 3 is never easy as 1, 2, 3. But no journey, especially when it comes to entrepreneurship, is going to be easy. But once you put your head down, you got a passion for whatever you're doing. Don't just be an entrepreneur just because it's a good lane, because a good lane can burn out. But when you got a passion for something, it'll never burn out. So this is the thing we got to do, find out what we're passionate about, how we can affect change, how we can serve customers, package that, and then put it out into the world. And that's the start of entrepreneurship for somebody getting out of prison. That's the advice that I give to the listeners is maybe coming out of prison or someone who listening who have a loved one that's in prison that needs your help.
And I know your passion and how you started was with starting your publishing company, and you've launched and produced several books from it. And you said it's no easy journey. In the setbacks and the challenges that you've experienced as an entrepreneur, how have you handled those and overcome those challenges and setbacks?
Overspending, not budgeting. So I have dealt with those financial setbacks, still deal with them sometimes. The only thing I do is go back to my mantra in prison, never give up. No matter how difficult it gets, never give up, because the moment you quit, the victory was right around the corner. The moment you just throw in the towel and say, man, this is it. If you just walked a few more steps in your journey, then success would have came. That's how entrepreneurship works. You got to keep knocking on doors until you knock on the right door. And that's what I'm out here doing now. And if I had to do that to get out of prison, imagine how much free I am to help people out here. They're just part of the struggle, too.
Yeah, so really that mantra and that never give up and that hunger really is what keeps you going. It's not an option to give up is kind of what I'm hearing from you.
So the entrepreneurs, right? What you say again? That what you say my motto was again?
Never give up.
That was the mantra of the motto. Never give up, because the world needs you and what the product that you offer. The world needs us because we have a unique perspective on how to interrupt all this youth crime and people trying to get money. If we can get a table, sit at the table and get them means and ways to make money legitimately, then we can have a great, great, great impact. So my mantra is to never give up. But at the same time, you got to work while you're not giving up. Can't just sit around and hope and dream. You got to work.
You got to take initiative and go out there and learn some things on your own. And it sounds like that was a big part of your journey, is learning and spending time in the library, reading business books, which I think goes to a great point, because I think there's often this myth of, I hear a lot of people, well, let me go to business school or let me get a degree to be able to start a business. And you don't need all of that.
No, you don't. You don't. As I said, we come from school of hard knocks. We learned our hard knock degrees in the streets, making money the wrong way. And in the prison, it's even worse and even harder. But when you're inspired by so many business books and icons, it's like, that's their lane, but I need to aspire to greatness just like that in my own lane. This is what I need to do. So with that said, I got out, created my publishing company. I do motivational speaking. And also, I got a nonprofit. That's entrepreneurship. I teach entrepreneurship to youth, teach them how to write business plans, teach them how to start a business, because they hungry entrepreneurs too. So I try to teach these kids, like, look, this is what you can do to make money. You can do 4 years in high school or do 40 years in prison. Which one do you choose? You like fast money? This is the way to get it legit. Write out the business plan. Here go the resources to make that happen. And that's passing along generational knowledge to the next generation so they can create their own generational wealth. And that's a responsibility, too, that we have as entrepreneurs to give back. And being an entrepreneur doesn't mean you have to be big. You can start a business right now, LLC, selling a T-shirt, from a plain white T-shirt. But you got an LLC, and under the byline, say, what does this business does? You say, to sell T-shirts. And then you take it to the next level. So you can start off anywhere. LLC doesn't cost no more than $100 in any one of the 50 states. So start with your LLC, right? Get your limited liability company, write your business plan, and then hit the ground running. I'm not saying like it's easy, because it's not easy at all, but I'm sitting here doing it. I've only been out 2 years, and I started that immediately when I got out. 28 days after I was out, I had my LLC immediately when he got it done. Didn't know how to do it. A lawyer did it for me, walked me through the whole steps. But there's help out there. There's free resources at your public library. The books that you need for if you want to be a real estate agent, you want to be a corporate, you want to be a contractor, all those books are in your free public library. Don't let the library be empty. That's the problem. If you go to the library in prison, it's empty. And even out here, I thought it was just in there, but they empty out here too. The library got all these free resources that we don't utilize. As an entrepreneur, the library is your favorite friend. You can print stuff off. You can scan stuff. You can use all type of devices to build a website, Canva, all this stuff that you would know about. But if you go to the library, the workers there, they trained in these aspects, and they help you with everything. In fact, this book here, I did this book, my last book, I did this in the public library. Even the book cover, all that was done off Canva, taking artwork that was in the public domain and put it in the collage. And this is what I got, my book cover. The book was typed, all this in the library, in the public library, because I was there every day hanging out. Then they taught me, we walked through the steps step by step on how to do this all over again. And, you know, now I'm publishing. I did all that at the library. That's how hungry I am as an entrepreneur. I didn't want my ninth book to sit. I wanted it to be out. So I went to the library. I was waiting on somebody else that was helping me at first. And I said, I got to learn this stuff myself. I'm out here now. So I went back to the drawing board, went to the library, walked through the steps, and now we have my ninth book that's published. So it's just important, man, to just keep doing the work. No matter what somebody else say, think, or do, you got a mission in life. That's what you got to do and achieve in life.
Did you have any other resources that helped you throughout the process, like certain books that you read, mentors, or even programs that help you develop to become a stronger entrepreneur?
My favorite entrepreneur book is Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. I took a few business classes in there. I went to Missouri State University and got a certificate in business management. We took business math, business management, and two other business classes. I forgot, but it was 12 credits, but four courses. I specifically remember business management, business math, and I forgot the other two, but those played a great role in my entrepreneurship journey in the segment in a legit way. You know, to have a legit understanding of numbers and stocks, bonds, and, you know, all the stuff that goes into running the business. I never knew this stuff, so those classes were great. One of my other greatest mentors is John H. Johnson. This book here is called Succeeding Against the Odds. You see what it say? The autobiography of a great business, a great American businessman. So I've learned from mentors like this, even though he deceased, but the book is so powerful, and it's talking about his entrepreneurship journey. And he was a publisher, which made me say, okay, I'm gonna start my own publishing company as well. He published Ebony and Jet magazine, you know, back in the 50s, 40s, and 60s, et cetera. I said, okay, I'm gonna walk in his footsteps and publish my own book publishing company. And that's what I'm doing. So we stand on the shoulders of the giants, no matter what we do. One with us, just like you on the radio. It was pioneers that came before you, and we stand on the shoulder of giants, and we just got to learn from what they taught us and really make something happen. And it seems, I'm going to say this one thing, it seems hard, though. I'm saying it like it's easy. It's not easy. I'm still going through the same thing as I don't know myself. But bagging it, what I'm saying is that spirit that refuses to give up. It's that spirit that said, I'm not going to die in prison, even though I got 241 years. But here go the obstacles. Here go the doubts. You will never get out because nobody else to get out. You don't have no resources. You have no degrees. You have no family members that's in high places. So how you going to get out? You stuck in here. It's what the mind would say if it want to give up. But here it is. I'm being Think and Grow Rich. That book say, think and grow rich. Like, you can think yourself into wealth. He break it down in that book, chapter by chapter, on how you can do this, right? And then he says you can replace the word rich with something else. So I said, let me think and grow free. Now, I'm going to think my freedom to existence. I'm going to work towards it, but I'm going to think it, right? So by me thinking my freedom into existence and working towards it, I got free. So with that same determination, that's a lot of determination and motivation, 27 years. But that same determination and motivation, we got to apply to our business goals. Forget what people saying can't be doing. We from the ghetto. We from the hood. Or we just fresh out of prison. We ain't got no money. They said it can't be done, but the money is out there. Just put it into the universe and work hard towards it, and it's going to come to you. I'm preaching to myself. I'm not just saying that to the listeners, because I got to remind myself every day, until wealth come, you got to keep pushing to get it. Just like you had to push to get out of prison. You had no chance of getting out. So I hope people can feel my passion. I'm saying it's not just a podcast or a talk or interview. This is real life on how we as entrepreneurs got to succeed against the odds and keep going, no matter if people doubt us or not. We need to be the next people who make a change in this world. Let's do it.
Yeah, so instead of listening to that doubt, you really build confidence in yourself and just also in the business that you were going to put together once you left incarceration. And I mean, I think that's amazing. And like you said, and that's not an easy thing. So we don't want to make it sound like it's just going to happen, but you do have to work and you do have to be determined. I want to ask you too, then, what are some habits or routines that help you stay focused and disciplined as an entrepreneur?
Well, for me, it's reading, because reading sparks ideas and awakens that hunger. It keeps that hunger alive. It keeps that passion intense. And working out. I go to the gym every day, even out here in the streets, because when I'm working out, I'm dreaming. I'm thinking. It's like when I'm running the track, I take myself back to the track in the prison yard. I'm running all these miles on a small acre, half acre, and people looking at me like, why is this dude running like this? He ain't getting out. That's what they thought, right? But in my head, I was thinking about Harriet Tubman, the slaves, when they had to run towards their freedom. So I was running towards my freedom too when I was jogging around that track. Right now, even when I get tired, I think about the people who kept running, who kept trying to get away from something and to go to something. We trying to get away from poverty and run towards wealth. So why would I stop if I'm trying to run towards wealth? I got to keep going no matter if I'm tired or not. So when you wake up and you write this business plan down, but you can't figure it out, get up. Think about poverty. Think about the wealth you want to get. Get up. You know what I'm saying? Just get up out the bed. Keep trying no matter how many times you fail. Think about those who came before you and how hard they had it. Let that be your inspiration. We don't need a new person just to jump up and put out of nowhere with success. We got people in our past. We got our ancestors. We got so much before us that it's no excuse for us not to be successful entrepreneurs. And if you don't want to be an entrepreneur, you can help somebody else along with their journey. If you don't want to handle the paperwork and the overhead and all that, help somebody else be they president of their company and help them then if you don't want to deal with it. But you still be in the entrepreneurial spirit and just breathing in that air. Being around other entrepreneurs, it's a great feeling because you know that these people are just like you with the entrepreneurial mind frame. It's just in our world we come from, we got to make it legit.
Yeah. So I know you do a lot of things, Bobby, other than just publishing. What are some of the other things, ventures that you have and opportunities that you've created for people? Do you care to share with us about those?
Oh, yeah. When I was in prison, with help of my sister, started a nonprofit called Dear Mama, Mothers Assisted Mothers Association. That nonprofit helps single mothers and children in the St. Louis region, help them, you know, get free stuff. We give them free toys, clothes, shoes, books, food. And I call those I Feel Your Pain giveaway, which I do twice a month in St. Louis City and County at different locations. I also got my GED. When I was 18, I was studying for it. 19, I was studying for it. Finally, I got it. At 20, I was serious about it. And I got it because I knew education, how important it was. And that's what I tell other people, how important education is. And also, I got a nonprofit called TroubledTeensWithDreams.org. That organization is brand new, only about a month old, but I drafted that back in 2003. 22 years later, now I'm finally getting it together. That's how goals and dreams are. They never die. You may put them to the side. They may be buried temporary, but somehow they will rise from that dirt. Once enough water hit them, meaning once enough thought, once enough spark, once enough energy hit those ideas, they will blossom up. So those dead or soon to be dead plants in the yard, they got a purpose too that we don't think about. But everything, the way it's created, the economy of the universe, one thing takes from something else that it needs, it gives back to somebody else. And the entrepreneurial thing is the same way. If I'm writing books about changing the world or changing my life, and then I'm writing books about making history while remaking yourself, they may give me $20. But look at the jewels they'll get when they sit back and read these books, like the inspiration behind the books. They so inspired by those books that more people that I know need those books. And as entrepreneurs, you got to read, though. You got to study the greats who came before you in your particular field. And that's what I teach kids through my nonprofit, Trouble Teens with Dreams, the same thing I'm saying now. And I teach youth classes, and I do motivational speaking. And those are my entrepreneurship ventures now. In the future, whenever I do get some money, I got a clothing line named Mind Diamonds after my company. And then I got a book called Mental Jewelry. And I created a small jewelry line, the designs for all that, but I got to get the money for that. But look, it took me 22 years to get my nonprofit going. It took me 20 years to publish my first book. Not for lack of trying. I was trying day and night. I just couldn't do it. You can't force destiny. Nothing was happening. So I just kept writing, kept reading, and held on. And then now I'm full blossom with 7 books. This is one of my other books called Life Goes On Inside Prison. It's telling people in the world what prison is about. Like, that's a different world, but people need to know what happened to people when they go to prison, because 90% of us will be released into your society. So you need to know what's going on while we wait those 20 or 15 years. This book here, Dear Mom, that's another one of my books. It's about the life and struggles of a single mother. And that book is just telling kids to please listen to their mother. And it's talking about the wrong decisions I made trying to do business the wrong way and what they can learn from that. So everything that we're talking about, whether it's a personal change or not, it all swings back to entrepreneurship, because at an early age, breaking the core, stealing, robbing, which led me to prison for all that time. So I share that, like, here, watch this while I'm here, man, because you need to learn or think about this. Maybe it may not register right then and there, but in time, he'll go back and be like, man, I remember what dude was trying to say.
Where can people find your books if they wanted to purchase, interested in reading? Where can they access them and purchase them?
You can find my books on Amazon or wherever books are sold. I can be reached via my websites. I'm on Instagram under the tag Free Bobby Bostic. I'm on Twitter under Free Bobby Bostic. I'm on LinkedIn under Free Bobby Bostic. So people can follow me there, follow my journey, see what I've been doing. Those pages were created before I got out of prison. And so when I got out, now I'm just showing people who've been following me 2 or 3 years, 4 or 5 years before I got out of prison. I'm showing them, like, look, this is what we fought for. This is the life I'm living. These are the dreams I put out into the world, and this is what I'm doing in the community. I'm going to give you the links to all my websites. You can put those in the chat or in the bio.
Yeah, I'll put them in the description box so everybody can have them and they can reach out to you. If they're interested in having you do motivational speaking, if they want to talk to you or any questions, I'll make sure that they have all the information or they want to buy books. Before we get off, I do want to ask final question. What advice would you give to someone that's returning home from prison and wants to start a business but doesn't know where to begin?
The advice I give to them is to go back to the drawing board. Mm-hmm. Think of something you was good at in elementary school and that you never tapped into. Think of something that people always say, man, you got a talent to make people laugh. You can start your own, you can be a comedian, but you can start your own company as a comedian. It can be anything, basketball. People believe in just those tangible things they can see right in front of them, but basketball can be intangible. It's just like making money can be, it cannot always be a straight line. Not doing nothing illegal, but you got to go around stuff. You got to come back to stuff. Lose family members in the process. So my advice to an entrepreneur coming out with nothing is first write down a vision that you have, a service or product that you can offer people that's exclusive, that you see what everybody else offering, but you see it's a hole in it. You come in through that hole, and that's how you can make money. That's how you can be successful, which I haven't been practicing myself to the fullest because my, yes, I have on another level, but I don't have like a computer chip or something like that. My goals and my entrepreneurship goals started with my books. I just wrote what I knew. I only had, that's the product I had. I don't have no other product right now. I don't sell clothes, nothing, no cologne, no nothing. The only thing I sell now is books and motivational speaking. These things I honed in prison. I learned those skills in prison. And now those skills is worth thousands. So when you come out with nothing, you may be on the Metro Link, but you free down though. So I will be the happiest man on the Metro Link. As far as chores and things like that that we told to do, you need to figure it out and do it because that's a sign of maturity, a sign of whether we're willing to be entrepreneurs in the sense that you're willing to fall on your face and get back up because you're going to have a lot of setbacks and a lot of obstacles and hurdles that you're going to face as an entrepreneur, especially one that's newly released from prison. You don't have no business credit. You don't have a whole bunch of things, but I never let nothing like that deter me. I was going to make it regardless of how I needed to make it, and I did. I kept writing books. I kept putting things out there. Now I'm already speaking. And so my advice one more time for people getting out of prison is that, first of all, write down that one talent or skill that you have that nobody else can match. Two, go back to school, make sure you finish your high set or whatever. And three, sometimes we look outside of ourselves, but like I did this whole book right up the street at the library, it's right up the street, like three blocks down. But I was calling other people like, hey, how much your charge for this? How much your charge for that? It ain't about being, you got to spend money sometimes to make money, but your goals, as an entrepreneur, you got to keep them up front. Figure out what service you want to give. Take it to the next level and blow past all those people that didn't understand you when you was down. All those people who talked about you when you was down. That's part of life. Even as you go up and have success, you're going to have people talking about you. So appreciate the journey while you're going through it. Don't think it's going to be easy that you're going to jump into $1 million. Enjoy each moment that we get here. Enjoy the moment. So, and live life to the fullest, work hard, go back to the drawing board, read books, and really, really try to make it happen. That's my advice to somebody getting out of prison.
Well, look, thank you for all of that and for just an amazing story about how you have overcome and went from incarceration to entrepreneurship and being successful in your journey and continuing on it. So I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your story with us and talking to us today.
And it was a pleasure talking to you. And I definitely appreciate the opportunity to be on this platform.
Well, that's all we have today. You all make sure you tune in next week for another episode. I will make sure I put all of the information, books, social media, and any additional resources in the description box below for you all to access. And thank you for tuning in. This is More Life, the Reentry Podcast, signing off. Don't have a business idea or unsure if you can start a business with your interest? Here are 10 business ideas that are profitable and don't have to be the next $1 million business idea. 1, become an event planner. 2, start a house painting business. 3, become a grant writer. 4, be a personal trainer. 5, become a personal chef. 6, start your own trucking or transportation business. 7, start a mobile car wash and detailing business. 8, start a commercial cleaning business. 9, use your skills to start a graphic design business. And 10, become a seamstress or a tailor. These are all ideas that are still profitable in the business industry and don't have to become the next million-dollar idea. Thank you for listening to this episode on More Life, the Reentry Podcast. Be sure to come back next week to learn more. Before we end today, I want to give a huge thank you to the More Life, the Reentry Podcast team in helping with the development and production of this episode. Thank you. If you are interested in joining our team, please fill out the form in the description box. If you want to share your story, please fill out the form in the description box. We thank you for joining us and be sure to tune in next week.